Planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with our other co-host, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling from wherever you are.
Well, I've made a trip. I've gone out to Vancouver Island, British Columbia, to visit my parents. And they're kind of hitting their 80s, and life begins at 80, as you know. Well, maybe as we don't know, but as we're aware of. And they're hitting their 80s in stride and just having a great time. And I thought I'd take advantage of the beautiful sunny weather and come over and see them. And unfortunately, one of the results of that is that the internet connection here isn't as good as the one that I'm normally on. And, of course, we tend to record our conversations over the internet, so we may get the odd little distortion coming through. But hopefully you can understand us and hear us well.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Actually, your little blip reminded me I saw Paul McCartney with some lady on the television, and she was saying that they've been using his song, the Beatles song, When I'm 64. Except she said, but we have to change the words. It's now When I'm 84. So it's, will you still meet me? Will you still feed me when I'm 84? Of course, Paul McCartney has now reached his 68th year or something like that. Yeah, he's older than 64 anyway.
It's amazing to think of when I was so young listening to them on the radio, and now they're heading towards 70. It's just absolutely astounding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time goes.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that's really important is realizing that the decisions we make today are going to have such a huge impact on our quality of life 20 and 30 years from now.
The biggest thing, I believe, are toxins, you know, poisons, because they're cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking in toxins faster than your body can get rid of them, if the rate is small, you know, it's just like straws that you're adding to the camel's back.
Yeah.
One straw, no big deal. 10 straw, no big deal, right? But there comes a time when the proverbial straw breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, a couple bales of hay.
That's what we have. Yes. You know, what's going on here is that there's this concept of total toxic load that has recently been entering into the general medical awareness, where, you know, we understand that, for instance, you know, 2 parts per million mercury is about the tolerance level for mercury toxicity, you know.
Yeah.
But it was something like 4 parts per million in lead, and I forget the other numbers. But the point would be that how many of these multiple marginal or subclinical levels of toxicity can you handle?
Yeah, when you get them all together, it's one thing to say, okay, well, here's the mercury one, when you've got nothing else, but what happens if you've got a little lead, you've got a little mercury, you've got a little something else?
Yeah, exactly. And then it all adds up together, and next thing you know, you're showing signs of liver overload and toxicity symptoms.
Right. Well, Martin...
So maybe we should...
Go ahead.
Maybe we should return to the original topic that we promised people we'd talk about, which is the maker's diet and the 27 sure ways to get sick.
Just exactly what I was going to say is last time we talked about, okay, you know, we've been telling everybody how to get healthy and everything else, and really we should have a balanced approach here, and we should also tell people how they can get sick. And last time we talked about the first four, which number one was stay out of the sun, because we all know that the sun is vital to human health. And the second one was to go to bed after midnight, because every hour of sleep before midnight is worth about 4 hours of sleep afterwards. Never let them see you sweat was number three, because who wants to get all wet and you know, salty and all the rest of it, even if that means you're excreting toxins. And number four was take mega vitamins, because if you isolate specific compounds and sticking it into your body, that's got to be really, really good for you, as opposed to giving what nature gives. So those were the first four that we talked about.
That last one, the number four, that should be really renamed something like, I know that my pharmacist is smarter than God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll take a little bit of this compound, a little bit of that chemical, and we'll call it vitamin C and give it to you. Wonderful. So we're going to move on now.
And also, if the content of one apple is good for you, why not 1,000?
That's a good point. So here we go on another tangent. What about juicing? Can you overdo the juicing thing? I guess you can overdo anything.
You can overdo water and drown in it, right?
Right. But I'm just thinking, like, because I have a juicer, and some friends of mine have got me back juicing, right? So I get about 4 or 5 carrots, a beet, some garlic, some ginger, maybe a little asparagus or spinach. And I used to put apples in it, but I got away. They said, no, don't mix vegetables and fruit. So after a while, I kind of weaned the apple out. And it tastes, most of the time it tastes really, really good, right? Because carrots tend to be fairly sweet. But I noticed after 2 or 3 weeks of having one, probably 12-ounce juice, like immediately after it was juiced, right? Because we all know that it starts breaking down right away because it's living food. So you can't make a juice and then wait 3 hours and drink it. That's just not going to work. You got to drink it right away. But then I noticed after a few, a month and a half, I was just like, I don't want a juice. I just don't want any of this juice. So I'm listening to my body saying, maybe it's had enough or something right now. And it just occurred to me that, maybe, 5 or 6 carrots and a beet and some celery every day is, there comes a point where your body says, like, just give me a break from this, right?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. That's exactly what you're getting.
And the key is to listen.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah, and the key is to listen to the body, right? Because, it's fresh,
absolutely.
It's raw, it's living, it's organic, it's all these good things. So I must have it! Like, no. Listen to your body. If it says, hey, I'm not hungry, I'm good, give me a break. Because there are things like fast, right? Like certain cultures, they fast one day a week. So, if you decide you don't want to eat something one day, like it's okay. One day a week, or one day a month or one day a year.
Yeah,
I
agree. Well, actually, maybe what you're missing is the apple, Maybe it should be the ABC, apple, beets, and carrots.
I eat an apple every day, right? It's not like I don't get it. I just don't get it in the juice.
Food combining, yes, that's a valid thing, but it does not have to be so rigid,
That's right. And I think the thing, too, is listening to your body and saying, it's telling me, don't have it for a while, give yourself a bit of a break from it, And who knows? It maybe I've one clove of garlic. I'm putting too much garlic in the old system with all that stuff, and it's just getting to the point where it's saying like take a, and I have no idea what it is, but yeah. So here I am. I'm taking these juices, and I'm feeling like my consciousness is sort of changing. I got to take these breaks during the day and the evening, and sit and meditate or lay down and meditate and.
Wow!
Yeah, it's really wild.
So I actually would suggest that it's the garlic that you need to delete from these smoothies, because that is definitely consciousness disruptor.
Okay, I'd never heard that before, and I'd always heard that it was like antibacterial and cleansing and everything else. So,
it is, but it's sort of like a hand grenade thrown into the room,
Yeah, well, sometimes that's almost what it feels like. It's just kind of like my head is, it's. Like, I know it's not, I don't feel ill or sick or anything else, but I feel, like my brain's been bombed a bit. I don't know if I've described that well or not, but
But, maybe yes.
So are there, you know, like there was ginger, there was garlic. Is there something that you would recommend, like an herb to throw in to add to the juice, the vegetable juice?
No, actually, I wouldn't. No? I would say go with the... go with the ginger. That's nicely stimulating. I mean, if you want even more stimulation, you can toss a little bit of cayenne pepper in there.
Okay.
You know, if you want the intensity of it. But the garlic, no. I would say don't use it.
Okay.
Anyway, it's the garlic and onion and other sulfur compounds, because what they do is they are actually consciousness disruptors.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so if you want your consciousness disrupted while you get sick, eat lots of garlic and onions.
Yes, correct. You'll learn well.
All right. So now we're gonna get into the meat of the next at least four topics that we want to cover in how to get sick, because we really think it's important that, you know, if you're gonna do anything, do it well. So number five in our list is use fluoride toothpaste and mouthwash and drink fluorinated water. I think this is one of your favorites.
Oh, gosh, this is just such a horrendous, difficult subject, because people have been so brainwashed into believing that fluoride will prevent cavities, and fluoride given to small children will make them, you know, prevent tooth decay and so on. That's... All the studies that have been done on this show clearly that it has to be a specific concentration between, you know, one part per million and two parts per million. And that is fairly difficult to attain and achieve. So it just doesn't work. And, you know, my kids have had no fluoridation and they have no cavities. So clearly, on statistical sample of one, I have 100% confirmation of my theory.
Well, the thing is, too, is if you're drinking colas and carbonated drinks and eating chocolate bars, and
I
popsicles,
suppose.
You know, you're creating an environment in your mouth that is not good, right?
Right.
And, you know, to say, okay, well, what we're going to do is create that bad environment and then we're going to use this fluoride stuff to fix it is pretty ludicrous, particularly when, you know, fluoride is extremely poisonous. Like, it continually amazes me how we take substances that we know are like mercury. And, I mean, you've got a great story with mercury. You know, putting mercury in your tooth,
yes.
Like... Give me a break, right?
It's so barbaric, it just boggles my mind, you know, when I really think it through all the way. I mean, when it's shipped into the dentist's office, it's shipped as hazardous material.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have permission to stick that in your mouth, and you're going to have it there for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And here's another tidbit. Which is the profession of the professional people that has the highest suicide rate?
Dentists?
Ding, 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 ding. You win the prize.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't really know if it's because just looking into people's mouths would depress anyone, but I would even gather to guess that it's the mercury, because when I was poisoned with mercury, I had plenty of suicidal thoughts.
Oh,
and
interesting.
It wasn't just me, you know. It's part of the deal.
Right.
So anyway, fluoride... Well, actually, let's just say the dentistry as a class is a very corrupt trade, and both the mercury and fluoride are absolute frauds delivered onto the untrained or gullible public.
Good. So if you want to get sick, use fluoride toothpaste, use fluoride mouthwash, drink fluorinated water. So I guess what I would be saying is take a real close look at the toothpaste that you're using in your mouthwash, make sure there's no fluoride in it, and then you're going to have to filter your water.
Yep, that's a fact.
Because otherwise you don't know what you're getting in your drinking water.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
I mean, even areas that they don't stick anything in the water, which I don't know that exists, but even if they didn't, you're getting the water through pipes that have been laid down for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So what is it picking up as it's going along those pipes?
Yes.
You know, what's in the pipes? Like, what type of pipes are they? Are they lead pipes? You know, how did they seal the pipes? Did they use solder, which has got lead in it? You know?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, who it knows? Could be two, I mean, 3 parts per million lead coming your way.
If you're in New York and down, like, Manhattan. That's like 150-year-old pipes.
Plumbing. Yes.
So, you know, you're in an old building.
And if you live in London. Yeah.
London, England, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows, right? Like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So, I think you're better off to get a nice, good filter. And I don't know that, anyway, that, don't get a filter if you want
to get
sick.
We're going to get into filters some other time. Yep.
That's right. Okay, so fluoride is great if you want to get sick. Number 6 on our list is use artificial sweeteners and avoid sugars. Oh, dear.
Right. And well, so you know, as far as sugar is concerned, we have been driven to madness with the fear of sugar, right? I mean, it's no friend. You know, sugar is the most readily available energy food. So if you take, you know, baked goods that have been sweetened, you know, like a donut with jelly center and sugar all over it, I mean, when you eat that, it's definitely going to spike your, you know, sugar level in your blood very rapidly.
Right.
Which some people can handle it, but some people don't do so well with it.
Well, and the more you do it, the harder it is to handle, right? Because you're just constantly putting that stress on your whole system. I know. I worked in a grocery store, and it had a bakery, and the bakery had donuts and apple fritters and just all these great things. And every break, I'd be eating one or two of those things. And you know, but I'm 17, 18, and I'm running a mile a day and all that sort of stuff. And now, 30 years later, I go by and I go, oh, that looks really good. Next. Where are the apples? Where's the garlic?
Oh, yeah.
It is that sad. Stuff is just goes. I can see it. I mean, it makes an outline of a donut on the side of my stomach, right? There's that donut. Oh, there's that donut. So I thought, oh, I better just not have that. And
yeah,
what's funny, actually, is using, you know, the Exela superfoods, you know, particularly the zoetine and the Strataflora, I find that I don't have.
Yeah.
It's like, because I remember when I was in my 20s, there wasn't a choice. This was just, there it is, get your money, get it, eat it, right? And there was no consciousness.
Yeah, the command was, I must have it.
Yeah, and I think there was an addictive aspect to that. And now I really notice, like, you know, I'm in the grocery store, I walk by that stuff, and I go, muffins, nice. And I continue right on. I don't even think about
it. Nice. Or maybe somebody else can have it,
And I really think that having that nutrient-dense food in my system helps to combat those kind of cravings and temptations. That's the point I wanted to make.
Absolutely.
So sugar, as bad as it is, what's
worse? Well, you know, if you're committed to drinking a soda pop drink, you know, then just have the regular. Don't go for the one with the artificial sweetener. You know, the diet drinks.
Don't go with the diet drinks.
No, that's if I was religious, I would call it the devil's invention.
Hmm.
I tell you, it is so bad. For one thing, it's a neurotoxin. People have been known to become addicted to it. I know one woman who was so addicted to it, she would wake up in the middle of the night and have to crack open her, you know, 2-quart pop bottle with her Diet Pepsi that she needed, and she had to have a swig or two and go back to sleep because it would wake her up.
Wow.
She also would get a phenomenal amount of migraine headaches, and she would have withdrawal symptoms, and all kinds of stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, bad news. Anyway, I have read, this is not from a direct personal experience, but I've read people who've gotten rid of their multiple sclerosis symptoms just by eliminating diet drinks from their lifestyle.
Cool. So if you want to have multiple sclerosis, you want to get overweight, you want to have low energy and set yourself up for all sorts of different types of sickness, just have those neurotoxic NutraSweets or Equals instead of sugar. Well, and of course, we'd recommend going to, you know, natural sweeteners that just come with, like, you know, you eat the apple, you don't put sugar on the apple, but it has a natural sweetness to it. So as opposed to putting that, I mean, we've talked about white flour, white sugar, white salt, and how that's really bad for you. And it's hard to believe that they could make something that's worse than white sugar, but they have.
Yes.
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I think you were telling
me. We should call it the white death.
The white death, yeah. But you know, you were mentioning, I think, off the air that there's a clear scientific link between aspartame and increased occurrences of brain tumors, seizures, headaches. So you mentioned the headaches just a few minutes ago, and hyperactivity in kids. Like, we wonder why, you know, the schools keep talking about all these hyperactive kids and ADD and ADHD and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, you give them 2 liters of root beer for breakfast, like, what do you expect?
Yes.
You know?
Actually, I have recently read a study. This was done in Great Britain. And they have, you know, similar behavioral problems as anywhere else. In this one particular school, they have eliminated all, you know, they call it the snack foods.
Yeah.
Crisps and biscuits, which in America would go as potato chips and cookies.
Yeah.
Anyway, they just took it all. They took it all out, and they instituted a wholesome food policy. And their behavioral problems almost completely disappeared. Even children that had been labeled, you know, socially incapable, disruptive, and whatever. Even they became normal.
Yeah.
Intelligent. So, with the ability to focus. Sorry.
No, that's good. Well, I mean, you know, stick a whole bunch of salt and sugar in a kid and then, you know, expect him to sit quietly. It just doesn't make any sense from any sort of perspective, right? And, you know, we just are so blind to what we're sticking in our children, in my opinion. It's really criminal. It's like parents should be taking some sort of food program before they have kids because, you know, they all want to go to McDonald's and play in the playground. And, of course, when you're there, you got to have a pop and you got to have fries and you got to have a apple turnover. And then you wonder why an hour later they're crying and screaming and bouncing off the walls. Just doesn't.
And their emotional health is just in tatters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're on artificial sweeteners, and the word is, you want to have trouble? Load up, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, the next one is one that you and I discussed and kind of scratched our heads over before we started recording the show because we were just like totally bamboozled by this one. So, just for those of you that think we
I'm not actually so surprised. It's just it was really tragic for me to realize that I'm probably washing too much. So anyway, the number seven is
shower every day.
Well, the point would be that when you cleanse too much, you're stripping off the protective layers of natural oils off of your skin.
Right.
And I guess the natural thing to think, a way to think of it would be like back in Stone Age or back in the jungle. I don't know how often you got into a creek to wash.
Right. Well, and oftentimes, like when you go back into history, they would have a lot of ritual type things with water, right? Like the baptism, right? You know, you just dip in, you dip out.
Yeah.
Those sort of things, and And so we've kind of got into a society, I think, where we want to strip everything down and make it like antiseptic, sterile. And our skin is in some places like a rainforest, and in some places it's like a desert. And in the rainforest, there are all these things that live in it, and we kind of immediately go like, yuck, like kill them all. But we're not an island. No man is an island, right? And we're in a situation where we have a symbiotic relationship with a lot of these little critters, and they're what keeps our skin soft and subtle and healthy and everything else. And when you strip them all away, things that don't help us kind of take over, and now all of a sudden you've got problems.
Yes. So I guess what we should advise people to do is the following. Wash with soap those areas that typically would create the smell, the stinks. So that would be the, wherever there is the, what's it called? The, I have a brain pause here.
Your underarms.
Anyway, I guess it would be the armpits and your genital areas that generate the most of the smelly, the pheromones, the most intense smells that I guess the people around you would find offensive, right?
Right.
So I guess we'll wash that every day. And then if you're going to have a shower, you don't have to soap everything or scrub everything. You just, maybe you could scrub, but not soap. You know, like just use regular water, but not the soap to actually strip everything down.
Right, right. And I think
that's what I do, right? I mean, I don't soap most everything every time, right?
Yeah. And I think we're talking too about excessive showering. Like if you're in the shower for 40 minutes or the hot water runs out, then you probably have stripped away an awful lot of your natural oils and stuff. And, you know, get in there, have a quick shower,
yes.
Get out, and then be careful what it is you're putting on. Like, I love the Miracle 2 product that you've got, and, it's great. I just whoosh on, whoosh off, wax on, wax off, and jump out, and I feel fresh, ready for the day, and you're ready to go, right? If I had Head and Shoulders and I washed my hair four times and then I had, Dove soap or something and I was lathering myself up like crazy for an hour, then the chances are there's nothing left there.
Yes.
Not
you know, there was one of the better inventions of the cosmetic industry when they coined the phrase lather, rinse, repeat. Use twice as much because and always the second time if you do the second wash, I mean the thing will lather like crazy because there's absolutely none of those oils left on your body, right?
Right. And you think, wow, what a great job it's doing. That's
yes.
Wow. So yeah, beware of the marketing.
Which links us back to the next point.
Yes. Go swim in chlorinated pools if you
beware
want to get sick.
Water.
Chlorinated water.
This is the number 8. So now if you spend 45 minutes standing in a hot shower with the chlorinated water hitting on your skin, you're probably going to absorb a whole lot of that.
Yep.
In fact, I think I read a study that showed that a 15-minute shower was equivalent to drinking 2 gallons of water as far as what the chlorinated content was.
Wow.
So if you're drinking filtered water, but if you're showering in chlorinated, you're missing or you're having still an issue that you probably didn't know about.
Yeah. That's right. Holy smokes. Well, in chlorine, it's an effective bacteria killer. But the problem is that it kills the good bacteria as well as the bad bacteria. And we all know that when the friendly bacteria is gone, the unfriendly one takes over, and that causes a lot of problems.
Yeah. And have you heard of the technical term trihalomethanes?
No.
THM, trihalo, as in halogen, methanes. When the halogen, like chlorine, interacts with methane, it creates a compound that's very toxic. And this compound can be found in the body. And people with cancers have very high concentrations of this in the diseased organs. You know, like your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, whatever.
Huh. Well, and the other thing with chlorine...
Not a good thing.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you put chlorine on a lead pipe, it eats through it. It corrodes most metals, and so, you know, why would we want to be sticking that on our body or in our body?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
So you need a filter on your shower.
That's
you need
right.
absolutely a you know filter to remove the chlorine from your shower.
That's right. Talk to your city about getting rid of chlorinated water.
Yes. Oh, that's not going to happen. Absolutely not. By the way, there are technologies other than chlorine to do the same thing. We could kill the bacteria using ozonation or ultraviolet light, and some cities do that, but it's more expensive than the chlorination. And of course, the stupidity of our water systems is that we have one pipe instead of two pipes, right? Instead of having drinking water separated from gray water, you know, we have the... I mean, we don't have to filter everything. We don't have to kill the bacteria and everything. I mean, you could wash your car or water your garden or even perhaps wash your laundry in water that does not have to be drinking quality.
Yeah. That's right.
So we could easily have had non-chlorinated water arriving at the house and then have each house have a little water filtration for drinking and cooking water.
Yeah, not only that, we could build houses that collect
anyway,
water.
Some of the decisions.
You know?
Yes, we could.
You know, like you got the rainwater coming. I mean, in the old days on the farms, I remember there were these big barrels and they would just, you know, there's... That water was pretty good, you know, rainwater.
Well, actually, there's more to it. Yeah, there's more to it than just saving water, you know. Rainwater is distilled water. And that's an important thing, because when you're watering your garden with water that's from the well, you can see the deposits that it's leaving on the leaves, you know, like the hard water stains that are... usually in your coffee pot or glasses or whatever.
Yeah.
They also get on your vegetables and on your grass or whatever you're watering with it. And that doesn't happen with rainwater. Rainwater is naturally distilled.
Right. Well, there you go.
It's right.
We've covered the first eight, and that only took us 40 minutes for these last four.
Well, I guess we better cut it off while we're still alive, because the next thing that is going to happen is one of our listeners is going to come at us and say, you guys are keeping me awake late into the night with your silly babble about chlorine, and it's giving me a nightmare.
Well, then we've done our job.
Yes, we've done our job. So, listen, people, if you want to get sick, drink chlorinated water. And wash with it daily.
And then eat artificial sweeteners.
Lots of soap.
And eat artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, that'll do
like
it.
Crazy.
That's the crowning of the cake.
Yeah, sprinkle some
so
aspartame
here's,
on
here's
your head.
So here's thanking you for staying with it this long. If you want to see more of these type of articles, you go to www.life-enthusiast.com, where you can find a link to our other podcasts. And if whatever you read there is not clear, give us a call. We can be reached at 1-866-543-3388. So this is Martin and Scott for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.